Hey, everybody. Welcome to tonight's Gootscast, the post-WrestleMania show. We tried doing Twitch the other night. To be honest, it's really late right now. I've had a long 2 days. So we're just going to record this, upload it. You guys listen to it. Let me know what you think. And yeah, now we're talking about night one of WrestleMania and all the stuff that has gone on yesterday. It's day three of WrestleMania. For those of you that don't know it, but it was night one of actual WrestleMania.
See, I don't count Thursday
because Thursday counts. It's over.
It was pre-recorded.
But there was also like those shitty like indie events that we didn't cover. So.
Oh, I guess yes, sure. I guess, man, what did you think of night one overall?
That was really good. I mean, if this was the only night, I'd be like, this is one of the best WrestleManias since, like, the Attitude Era. But there's another night, and honestly, nothing tomorrow night besides Edge's match looks appealing whatsoever.
The Edge's match is about it, yeah.
Like, I think they should have... I mean, all the killers were tonight. I thought... Once the first two matches were shit, but I won't blame the first match because of what happened to Boogs.
Exactly.
But after that's... What?
No, exactly. Yeah.
After that second match, everything was fucking good. Everything was good.
Let's get right into it. The first match is there's, by the way, no pre-show matches. It is a first match is Boogs and Nakamura versus the Usos for the tag team titles, the SmackDown tag team titles. Mm-hmm. Very early in the match, Boogs has one of the Usos up in a fireman's carry, and the other Uso jumps on the other Uso's back. So he's supposed to fireman carry both those guys. It turns out, so he falls down, Boogs falls down, and he's not seen for the rest of the match, and it's Nakamura versus both those guys. They hit the 1D, which is their Usos version of 3D on Nakamura for the win. Turns out Boogs is injured, and it is a
quad, tore his quad.
He tore his quad, right? Yeah. But he got stretchered out, carried out, so... Very short match, wasn't that good, but it's because Boogs got injured early on. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was trying to do his, I think, you know, that spot, I think that's a definitely please Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard spot where he lifts both guys up, but yeah. He didn't plan it right. And I don't blame him. But this match was nothing, but I don't blame. They did what they could. I feel bad for all four guys.
Yeah. How long? They say he's going to need surgery, 100%.
Probably going to be out for like a year or two.
A year or two, right? Yeah.
Which sucks because he was just getting going. It sucks for Nakamura because I feel like without this guy, Vince has no interest in Nakamura. So.
Yeah. And I this is actually Boogs' second major injury in WWE. He had before even he was in NXT under a different name, and he had one match and then he injured his neck real bad. And then he disappeared, almost retired. And then he came back under a new name and in the main roster. And this is another big injury for him. So we'll see what happens.
It's clear he didn't know what he was doing. I'm not trying to shit on the guy, but someone fucked up. Either the Usos didn't put their weight right, or he didn't really know how to do that. And he said he did. But...
Or it could have just gave out.
It could have been a freak accident. I don't. Yeah. I mean, it sucks, but. You know, I'm not gonna be like the match stunk. It was what it was. Maybe it would have been great. Maybe it would have been shit.
Yeah. For what it was, except
it was fun.
One little botch. The rest of it wasn't like terrible.
It was like a TV match.
It was fine is another way I would describe match number two. Drew McIntyre versus Happy Corbin. Before this match, they do a whole recap of how Happy Corbin became Happy Corbin, showing him when he was like a bum ass from like a year ago. And I was like, man, I used to love that shit. That was so good. I wish they would go back to that.
They had something special with him and they completely fucked it up.
Yeah. So Drew McIntyre versus Corbin. Drew McIntyre hits the Claymore. He gets for the victory. He gets his sword back. And then there's a moment where Madcap Moss, after the match, standing on the apron, and Drew has his sword, and then he just fucking whacks the ring ropes, and he just breaks the ring. That's how it ends. It is what it is. It's like a TV match.
This sucked. Up until this point, I was like, this show's not looking good. Yeah. This fucking stunk. Baron Corbin just, dude, I don't know what his matches stink. It's like typical, it's boring WWE shit. And Drew's really fallen from where he was even a year ago. So not good. Not good at all.
The best part about this whole match was when Michael Cole got the feud wrong and said, I can't, you know, Drew's mad because of all that stuff Corbin said about his wife. And Pat McAfee's like, Mom! You know, what is it? Pat McAfee does that a lot. He has to correct Mike Cole. Like, he just, like, he gets things wrong all the time. But that was, like, legit the best part. It was a TV match. You know what I was thinking? This is where AEW does things right. They would never put, like, they would normally not kind of put this shitty kind of blow off on a pay-per-view. They'll just put it on TV. Because
they want to put Drew on paper.
Yeah. Match number three. It is the Mysterios versus Miz and Logan Paul. Logan Paul and Miz coming out with matching ring gear. Logan Paul's even got a 900K valued Pokemon on a necklace. That was really clever. This guy knows how to be a heel. This match is going, and all of a sudden, Logan Paul hits the Three Amigos. People are booing. They're losing their shit on this guy, having so disrespect on Eddie Guerrero. Logan Paul gets up on the top rope after hitting the Three Amigos, does the Eddie Guerrero shimmy, more boos. This guy hits a frog splash, more boos. People fucking are going ballistic. I'm loving it. This guy totally knows what he's doing as a heel. Ultimately, what happens at the end, Logan Paul gets put into the 619 position. The Mysterios hit a double 619. They hit two frog splashes. Miz makes a save and then hits the skull-crushing finale on Rey Mysterio for the victory. As they are getting their hands raised after their victory, Miz attacks Logan Paul, which I assume is probably going to set up the next program. This was fantastic.
Let me just say, I generally hate Logan Paul as a person. I don't think he's a good person at all. I think he's a piece of shit. I think he's fucking... But I got to tell you,
Why is he a piece of shit? Like, I don't really know.
The main thing was he did the Suicide Forest video in Japan that kind of fucked up all the rules on YouTube and what led to my YouTube getting kicked off because they started re-scrutinizing. That's the one thing.
That's right.
And he tortured like a rat on a video. He's not like, you know how there's people that we talk about that I don't fucking like?
Yeah.
He's right there. Having said that, this is what makes this other part hard. This fucking guy nailed wrestling in a way I'm just shocked how good he was. Dude, he was better than Jade Cargill is right now after a year. He's better than Brock Anderson.
He was better than Dominic Mysterio.
He's better than Dominic. He's better than Sky Blue. There's so many people that are on national TV that were like, they're wrestlers, and we have to pretend they're good, that are on like AEW and Impact. This guy's better than most of them. This was his first match. I know he likes doing this boxing shit, and he makes a lot of money with his boxing, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I was Vince, I'd sign him. Because he's a heel. He's a natural heel. He knows what to do. And he doesn't give a fuck because he's not in this world. So I think a lot of wrestlers would be like, I'm not going to do that Eddie Guerrero shimmy because it's disrespectful. But he doesn't give a fuck because he'll just go back to his mansion.
He knew that was going to get a very big reaction, and it did. He had these people pissed
because he knows everybody hates him. So it's like, he knows we all think he's a fucking loser piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate saying it because I don't want to, but I got to give it to him. He was like the second best worker in that match.
Yeah,
dude, that guy could be a star in wrestling.
This match opened it all up. I think you're right. Starting from here,
it was a great show after this. Yeah.
Stephanie McMahon brings out Gable Steveson, who decided not to dress up for the occasion. Then they showed a sneak peek of Young Rock. It looks good. I'm the only one who wants to watch it.
Jeff Jarrett's on this season.
I fucking love
it. Not the real show. Jeff Jarrett. They cast an actor as Jeff Jarrett.
The preview, by the way, is they're showing that this season is where Rock's going to actually start getting into wrestling. Yeah. So that's what the preview was. We're going to go to match number four, Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair. Both come out to some big entrances. Becky has her name done in the WWE logo setup thing they do. Mm-hmm. Belair comes out with a marching band. Back and forth match. There is a point where Becky does a flip for the top rope and kicks Belair right in the
face.
Which eye was it? Right eye. In the
eye. It's swollen.
Yeah. Actually, I think it was the left eye, actually. And it's going to get swollen as the match progresses. But it doesn't stop her from having a good rest of the match. Belair hits the kick of death for the victory. As she's cheering, you see it's fucking almost swollen shut. It was all right. It was okay.
Oh, I love this match. You didn't love this match?
I didn't love it. No, I didn't love it. I didn't think it was.
I thought this was the best match of the night.
Okay, can you actually, explain what you loved about it so much?
Everything was just on point. It told a story. It didn't try to be cute. The story is, after all these years, Becky's going to lose to Bianca. Bianca's going to prove she can hang with Becky. They countered everything. Every move was fluid. Even when Becky fucked up, they just went with it.
They fucked up a few times.
But even when they fucked up, it just like seemed natural. It just seemed like these two were like in a fight. I thought it was a really good match. It just felt very natural. The countering was good. It was nonstop action. I wasn't bored. It was the perfect length.
Would you say it was total nonstop action?
Total nonstop action. No, it was really good. I liked it a lot. I personally think this is way better than the Sasha Banks match from a year ago. I think this is the best WrestleMania women's match ever.
Oh, you think this was better than Sasha Banks versus Belair from last year?
Yeah, I thought that match was very
awesome. Oh, interesting. Okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. All right.
You know why? Because this felt like the end of this felt like the culmination of the Becky Lynch story. It felt like the culmination. Yeah, They didn't try to get cute. They just did what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, they did what they were supposed to do, but for me, it was just like there was a lot of mistakes or things that weren't looking right in the match, and I also was thinking like there was no need to do the beat Belair in 5 seconds to get to this point, you know.
I think they did that again. Like when I look back at that moment,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that was when she was supposed to come out. I think Sasha Banks was doing some weird shit with the virus. And I think they were nervous that Becky couldn't have a long match, and they already had most of the show timed out. So they were just like, fuck it, just do it 5 seconds. And they made it work. They did long term, they made it work. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that was match number four. And now we're going to get to what I thought was the main event of the night. Seth Rollins comes out to some a cappella group wearing. This is a ridiculous outfit. I love this crazy Seth Rollins and wearing ridiculous outfits. He comes out. He's like, who's my Mr. Opponent? Everything goes black. And we hear that entrance, Cody entrance from AEW, where he goes, wrestling has more than one royal fan. People are fucking going crazy. Cody's ugly neck tattoo is just blown up everywhere. He rises from the stage. Like he would in AEW, so they're keeping all that. He comes in, gives a belt to somebody, they start wrestling, and they're having a pretty good match. There is a point where in the beginning to the middle, the crowd is just out of it. They're not...
They're in shock.
Yeah, I kind of understand, because when I was watching this, even though I did pop, it felt weird. It was like, it just felt weird. Did it feel weird to you watching this guy wrestle in WWE?
Yeah, it did. It felt weird. There's just so much tension with AEW and WWE, and I felt like it was playing out in the ring. And I don't think the crowd like was bored of the match or anything. I think they thought two things. I think they thought Cody was going to win in a squash. Or they were going to do something stupid and have Seth beat him. You know what I mean? Because nobody trusts Vince at this point. Mm-hmm. But I think once people realize it, these two are going to have a legit long match, like a 5-star match. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be like, I think a lot of people thought this was just going to be an angle to bring in Cody, not like a legit amazing match. Yeah, and then they went and had an amazing match. And I think people needed time to process that this wasn't just an angle.
You're probably right. Because when I'm watching this, it, in the beginning, I didn't look like people were bored. It just like everyone was quiet for oddly in the beginning, the middle, and then
yeah. But I think people are waiting. I also think people were waiting. Like maybe they'll just humiliate him and fucking pin him.
Yeah, yeah. It was very weird. It was like you completely transplanted an entire act from AEW and put it in WWE. Like everything was exactly the same, except for Arn Anderson not being there. So it was very weird. But these two had a hell of a match. These guys were going at it. Hitting crazy moves like inverted superplexes, what do you call it? And then just crazy amounts of high flying and good moves. Ultimately, Cody Rhodes hits crossroad, starts doing the bionic elbow, which Corey Graves did a great job calling significance of all these moves. Because Jimmy Smith doesn't really know what the bionic elbow difference of that is, right? Or when Cody did the Stardust somersault, cartwheel?
Yes, and Jimmy yes.
Jimmy Smith didn't understand he was just like, oh, he's being entertaining, he's having fun. Corey Graves was like, no, you idiot, this guy is shedding his skin. Like, Corey Graves did a great job. I know people shit on him as a commentator, I understand that, right? Mm-hmm. But to me, Corey Graves is the cat food of the...
Sorry, the comments.
No, okay. Corey Graves, I thought he did a great job really expressing what the significance of everything was. After he hits the bionic elbow, Cody hits one more crossroads for the victory. This is fantastic. I give this match 100 stars.
Now, if Dave Meltzer was honest, he would give it 100 stars. Sorry about that. Fucking
no, it's
okay. Dude, I love this match. I loved fucking Corey Graves' commentary. Mm-hmm. I love Seth Rollins. Welcome back to the big leagues, bitch. And then he just kicks him.
Saying, this is my house. This is all that stuff he was saying was great. Yeah.
Dude, that was fucking amazing. It was incredible. It was really incredible. It was fucking incredible. The only thing I think I do sense that Cody was a little nervous first 5 to 7 minutes of the match.
Oh yes, you could see it.
And then he got his confidence back.
Yes, you could see it in his face that he was nervous. Yes.
I think a lot of people involved in this, and I'm not just talking about Cody, I'm talking about Seth, the announcers, the fans, got in their heads about about this moment, about AEW, about the journey. But then once Cody was like, fuck it, I'm in WWE and this is what I'm doing, it fucking just gelled. Even I think Seth was in his head like, oh, because this is all anyone's going to be talking about. Like for years, this first match. Yeah. I kind of think if you're a kid who's like 18, 19, this was your Hogan Rock. You know what I'm saying?
That's possible, yeah.
Where a guy returns and he's been gone for a while. And then, like, if you just think about the story of Cody Rhodes, it's fucking wild. Like, dude, he started WWE. He did all these gimmicks. His dad died. He wanted to change his gimmick up to honor his dad. And see the dream that his dad, you know, the dream that his dad had to win the WWE title. Triple H tells him, you're not that guy. He fucking leaves. He goes to all these indies. He meets this billionaire, starts this company with this fucking billionaire. Then the billionaire turns on him. Then he comes back to WWE where he gets a huge entrance. And then he fucking does Triple H's move at WrestleMania.
He never hit the pedigree.
I know, he never hit it, but he's, like, attempting it. Like, it's just so funny. Like, this, like, dude, you couldn't write this. Like, this is, like, a fucking video game storyline.
Yeah.
Like, the thing that this guy lived. And the other thing I thought was interesting was everyone kept saying that, like, it's the neck tattoo. Vince was, like, the neck tattoo. That's clearly wrong.
No.
He must love everywhere. This fucking neck tattoo.
Yeah, that shit was everywhere. Yeah.
I think they think this is his Brahma bull. Yeah. It's. I think the neck tattoo is what make Vince like him.
Right. It's his Brahma. Yeah, I think that's a good example. This is the Brahma Bull logo that the Rockies have. Yeah. I think Junior is all about branding. He knows marketing and branding. So he's like, oh, this is perfect. This is perfect for branding. It's perfect for marketing. This is a t-shirt. It's a ready-made t-shirt, which, as you pointed out, they had the merchandise on.
Yeah. Dude, he had that tattoo everywhere. I really thought they were gonna like make him cover it up. It's everywhere. So again, all these fucking Dirt Sheets guys were wrong.
Mostly the time they are wrong.
Yeah, but I it was a great match. I think this was one of Cody's best matches he's ever had. And I got a good feeling about this run. I do think eventually they'll change his music and stuff, but I don't think they're gonna do it for a while.
Yes.
I think by Survivor Series, he'll have a more WWE presentation.
Yeah, that's possible. Mm-hmm. It was a good match. Merchandise is already up. An interview with Cody at Variety magazine is already up. I read it, by the way. Dan Lambert has the WWF original championship belt, and he just gave it to Cody.
That's so nice.
That Dan Lambert's a good dude. He's a really good dude.
Yeah. The interview was very diplomatic. The interview was very good. Also, that stuff all dropped while he was walking to the ring. So they're gonna treat this guy like a big deal, and it's in their best interest too, because if they treat him like a big deal, like, can you imagine if Kenny Omega? Can you imagine if MJF? Yeah.
Absolutely, it's in their best interest to treat Cody Rhodes like a big deal, because anybody else who wants to jump ship now are going to look and say, they're going to treat me with respect, you know?
And it was a great match. I think it's good this match is going to be remembered. I think once the shock wears off, people are just going to be like, beyond everything with AEW and shit, this was just a great match.
They bring out the Hall of Fame people next. And then they announced that there's about over 77,000 people in attendance, which is an inflated figure. I think it's about probably realistically more like 60, but who cares?
Who gives a shit?
Match number
I don't care
six.
If it's like 10 people.
What?
I don't care. Like at this point, I don't give it. Like I know, like people like to go about the attend. I don't care if they have 10 people there or 27,000. I don't care.
Yeah. So. Match number six is Ronda and Charlotte Flair, which at this point it was around 10:46. And I was like, oh, they're cutting the New Day match, which they ended up doing.
I don't care.
Yeah. I don't know if that's going to be on tomorrow night or they just cut it.
Just put it on the pre-show.
They might put it on the pre-show, but it was cut for tonight. Ronda versus Charlotte Flair in, this match also had a lot of like fucking sloppiness to it, but I love the way Ronda wrestles. She wrestles like she's always in a real fight, you know?
I like Ronda's tits, I'll tell you that much.
I like Ronda in general. She fights like obviously she's a real fighter, so everything she does, she always makes it look like a real fight. But this match is loaded with lots of sloppy shit, including Charlotte Flair trying to do Andrade's double moonsault. She totally missed Ronda. It looked terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte's got her fucking titties coming out, doing nip slips and everything. It's just awful. She ultimately, there's some referee botchery, and then Charlotte just kicks Ronda in the face and then covers her for the clean victory. This was dumb, but it is what it is.
I'm okay with them pinning Ronda. I used to think that was dumb, but I'm like, whatever. Yeah, I didn't really like this match. I do think they should have had the New Day match just or something besides the Hall of Fame, just to let people go to the bathroom and shit. Because I think people were still hot. People were still like really abuzz from Cody. And then they were even more abuzz from The Undertaker. So like you need them to calm down before you throw another a third huge match in a row. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
And I kind of think the crowd wasn't that into it. It was okay. It wasn't that bad. It just wasn't that good. I just think Bianca, it just wasn't that good. It was okay.
Yeah, you're right. It is what it is. It wasn't the worst thing. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Then we get our final segment. We have Kevin Owens for the Kevin Owens Show. He brings Austin out and he says, I didn't bring you up for a talk, I really brought you out to fight. They go, all right, let's have a no holds bar match right now. So they start actually having a match, which really surprised me. I did not think they were gonna, when I say they're having a match, like they're having a match. There's a point where Austin takes a fucking suplex on the cement outside in the crowd. He's Kevin Owens goes through a table. They fight all up on stage, and you know, Austin gives a suplex to Kevin Owens on the stage. He kicks him down the fucking ramp. Ultimately ends with Austin hitting the stunner for the victory, and then there's a whole bunch of beer drinking. Austin does a beer chug with the referee. Austin calls up Byron Saxton, gives him a beer chug and a stunner. And then Austin brings his brother in, who I thought he was going to stun his brother. He did it. He took the beer with it and goes, all right, now get the fuck out of the ring. And that's how the show ends. Crowd is super into this match, super happy. This was good. It was just surprisingly good. I didn't think they were going to have a match.
First of all, it's fucking hilarious and also kind of sad that after 25 years, nobody in this fucking company is ever as over as Austin. Like, they just can't find it. It's their own fault. But, like, nobody is as over as Austin, bro. I love this match. I'll say this. I've said this to you in private. I don't know if I said this on the show. Sting is the reason this match happened. Sting and all the insane shit he's doing in AEW is the reason this match happened. Because I think Austin probably and Vince were like, well, if Sting can do this shit, you can do some of this shit. Because Austin was taking bumps I didn't think he was going to take.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, when so much time passed, I was like, I really don't want Austin wrestling again because he's old. And I'm glad he did, because this was such a better retirement match than the Rock match. I don't like that Rock match in 19. I didn't like it at the time. And
oh, really? I like that match.
I hate that match. I don't like it. It just has this feeling, this miserable feeling to it. I didn't like it at the time. And then when that was a retirement match, I was like, I just don't like it. And this felt to me like a more appropriate ending for this guy. But also, I kind of wish they did this 10 years ago with CM
Punk. Yeah.
I loved it. What a great ending.
Sending the fans home happy. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know how Night 2 is going to compete with this.
Night 2 has got a tall order, that's for sure. They got a tall order. So we'll see what happens. But Night 1, I think it was a fun watch. It is very long, though. It is like 4 hours long.
Yeah, well, tomorrow's going to be long, too.
Yeah. All right. So NXT Stand and Deliver. Not 4 hours. No, this was also 4 hours long.
No, that was 3 hours.
This was three hours?
The pre-show was 4 hours, yeah.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah, that's right. With the pre-show, did you watch the pre-show match?
I did.
Yes, if you guys are wondering, for NXT Stand and Deliver, that was at 1 o'clock to Eastern time today. They had a pre-show match of Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai just randomly together again, going up against the NXT Women's Tag Team Champions of Gigi Dolin and JC Jane. Wendy Chu, the sleepy Asian character, she gets involved. She spits soda in Gigi Dolin's face, who again gets attacked by Raquel Gonzalez. Raquel Gonzalez rolls into the ring, hits the Chicano bomb on JC Jane for the victory. We have new tag team champions, Raquel Gonzalez, Dakota Kai. I didn't care about this match, but why are they just randomly together, these two?
Because they don't have ideas for them.
Okay, that's what I figured. All right. Yeah. What'd you think? All right.
It was okay. You know what? Whoever is instructing fucking Priscilla Kelly to make those stupid fucking faces should be fired. Like, she just, it's like someone doesn't, I want to say there's whoever, who's telling you to do that? Because they don't like you. They don't like you.
I feel like someone is going to be like, all right, since you're a heel, like all our female superstars, you got to make sexy faces. But since you're a heel, you got to make like a sexy evil face. And she's like, yeah. Like this. It's like, no, more sexy. And she's like, all right, I'm like this. And they're like, no. More evil too. So now she's like,
she's making these dumb faces to the ring, and
it's so bad.
And she's like, oh, it's just, but yeah, it was okay. It was. Yeah. Can I just give you my summary of Stand and Deliver? Everything was okay. Nothing was
overall the show, everything was okay. Yeah. Yes, everything on the show was okay. Yeah, it's not as good as a previous takeovers, but it's not a bad show either, you know. It's like the best way to say it. you know.
Yeah.
Like I'm glad it's just on the network and I don't have to pay like $50 for this shit. You know,
well, we never had to pay $50 for takeovers anyway, but you're right, yes.
Yeah. This is okay. First matchup is the North American title ladder match. We got Santos Escobar, Grayson Waller, Cameron Grimes, Solo Sikoa versus what's fucking name? Carmelo Hayes. Everyone gets involved in this match. We're talking Legado del Fantasma. Everybody in that stable gets involved in this match. Grayson Waller's Sangha, the big Indian guy, he gets involved in this match. Everyone's getting involved. We have Santos Escobar. He does this move where they set up a ladder. He sunset flips Solo Sikoa right onto another fucking ladder. That looked devastating. Waller climbs up to the top of the ladder outside the ring, and Carmelo Hayes is laying on another ladder, and he tries to give an elbow drop. Hayes just moves out of the way. So he just basically jumped off a ladder and then just elbow dropped the ladder.
Yeah, that was crazy. This was the best match.
That looked like he broke his arm. But I don't think he did because I just don't think he broke his arm.
Yeah, that would have hurt. You know what I was saying? It's so, and I heard this on, Arn Anderson, I think, said this once. It's so funny how, like, you don't get injured doing crazy shit, but you do, like, a little simple thing. Like, when Triple H broke his quad, he was just running.
Mm-hmm.
The littlest shit is where you have the injuries. Isn't it? And it's just when you don't do the littlest shit right. It's so funny. Grayson Waller probably going to be fine, and fucking Corbin Boogs is, like, done for a year.
Exactly. That's exactly true. You do it's like those are little things that will fuck you up real bad. Ultimately, Cameron Grimes climbs the ropes. He is now the new North American champion. This is fine. This is a good ladder match. Not the best I've ever seen, but it's up there. It's good.
Yeah, it was good. You know what? I have to say the most over guy on the show on this one was Cameron Grimes. He was over.
Cameron Grimes is very over.
The interesting thing is a lot of the 2.0 guys didn't get much reaction. Like guys that have only, you know, guys that have been touring because they weren't on the brand before the pandemic. They didn't really get much reaction. He got a reaction. People loved him.
Cameron Grimes, he is like a WWE superstar in the sense that not only is he a good wrestler, but he's got his character down.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And he also makes you root for him. And he's got like good storylines.
Did you see in the pre-show he cut a promo about his dad?
Yeah.
That's okay. What I mean. It was serious, but he was still himself, which I feel like a lot of guys, and this is how I feel about Jay Lethal and fucking Eric Young, when they go from silly to serious, it's like they almost like become a whole different person. And it's not, you know what I'm saying? It's like that's not who you were. That's not who you were.
Yeah. This is a problem that a lot of wrestlers have across promotions. All right.
Yeah.
We're not just talking NXT, AEW, everywhere. These people, the reason why they're not like truly, truly over, they is because they have to realize if you want to be like Hogan or Austin level people, you need to be the complete package where you need to be 100% in your character and your wrestling has to be based around your character, right?
Yeah.
You can't be dude, like Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm just like a tough redneck. I'm like your everyman. I hate my boss. And I'm going to be doing these fucking moonsaults like all day. Like,
yeah.
Like some of these people need to get their fucking acts together. They need to. Well, anyway, that's like a whole nother story. But Cameron.
No, Grimes, but I'm just saying Cameron Grimes, when he was
over being. He is the complete package.
He's not betraying the goofy guy that was with Ted DiBiase while talking about him. I got to do this for my dad. It's a serious storyline, but he's still the character, which is again, it was really good. I see big things. A year ago, I couldn't stand. 2 years ago, remember, I used to just say this fucking guy.
Yeah, you used to hate this guy. Yeah,
yeah, but he won me over, and this was the best match of the show.
Yeah, best match of the show. Let me think. Maybe, possibly, yeah.
Yeah, this
match thing. Number two. We got Tony D'Angelo coming out with AJ Galante. I had to look up AJ Galante. He is basically a mobster's son. So basically, he is a nobody.
Yeah.
So Tony D'Angelo comes out with a nobody, and you're fighting Ciampa. Ciampa has trouble pulling out the fucking the floor mats. He's trying to expose the floor mats. He's having a difficult time, but finally gets it done. Back and forth match, and then Ciampa gets hit with a DDT on the concrete that he exposed. Remember, he exposed the fucking concrete. He gets hit with a DDT on it. He gets onto the ring, and Tony D'Angelo, I think he hit his finisher on him for the victory, for the clean victory. Ciampa is leaving as he goes up to the ramp. Triple H's music hits, and Triple H comes out, gives him a backwards hug, and I guess Ciampa's done.
At least on AEW. I mean, AEW's NXT. Yeah, Ciampa's overrated. They're going on about how great this guy. This, the video pack and everything, they acted like this fucking guy was Shawn Michaels. It was like, all right, relax. This match was okay. It was all right. D'Angelo is a real weird character to have in this year. It's all right. Everything about this was just, it's okay.
Yeah. Match number three, it is the Creed Brothers versus MSK versus Imperium for the tag team championships. I'll tell you one thing. Imperium were like the only guys in this match that looked like superstars.
Did you see they changed the music?
Oh, they look like legit wrestlers.
Did you hear they changed Imperium music, bro?
No, I couldn't really tell. I wasn't paying attention to it. I fast-forward through all the entrances.
Good job.
Is it better?
No, it's worse. Way worse.
Oh, it's worse? But these guys look like they're in amazing shape compared to everybody else. Mm-hmm. MSK hits head scissors powerbomb combo on Marcel Bartel for the victory. They are once again the tag team champions. I like this match. This match was good, though. I liked it.
Yeah, it was fine. By the way, Kimberly revealed that she lied about Nash Carter.
Yeah, Kimberly lied about her.
And then she's trying to act like we're dicks if we call. I didn't call her out on it. But listen, this is what I'll say about Kimberly. Anyone who wears that fucking goofy outfit, you can't trust. Okay?
This is why I always say, don't cast judgment early.
And don't put your laundry out if you don't want people. Because she's like, why is everybody in my business? Well, fucking dude, a week ago, I thought you and Nash Carter were like madly in love and had a great marriage. You're the fucking jerk off who put it on Twitter that you guys are having problems. If you don't want people to think you have problems, don't say you have problems.
Yeah.
There you go. Problem solved.
You don't have to give a status update on your relationship every fucking 2 minutes, days.
Nobody was like, I wonder if Nash Carter abuses Kimberly. Nobody was thinking that or wondering it. We all thought you guys were happily married. You put it out there. So don't fucking be. She stinks. Get her. I heard she got. So did you just hear about she got fired from WWE?
She got fired. She was hired at WWE?
Yeah. I saw the story on Reddit. She was roommates with Tegan Knox. And remember Tegan Knox had that big injury?
Yeah.
She was supposed to take care of Tegan Knox for WWE. Because I don't think Tegan Knox would leave the bed for like a few weeks. Like it was that bad. And she moved out, and they had to have, I think they had to fly in Kaylee Ray to help take care of her while she was home getting better. And WWE was like, you were supposed to like help her out. Like that was like, and she like, and so a lot of the NXT women wrestlers, like, we don't want her around anymore. And they fired her.
I didn't even know Kimberly was hired by WWE before.
Yeah, she was. And I think she had a different name when she was there. But she was Tegan Knox's roommate and like her best friend, and it was her job. Like she was already living with her, and I think they said to her, "Hey, can you just take care of her? Can you like? Because she can't leave. I don't think she can get out of bed." And she was, and then she just left, and they were like, "Fuck you, you dumb bitch." So can't trust her.
Yeah, maybe she left because Tegan Knox was being busy. I have no idea. I don't even care actually. I just whatever. She's stupid. All right, Nikita Lyons video. We got Cameron Grimes with crying, cutting a promo when he's crying about winning the belt for his dad. Joe Gacy talks about JFK. None of this shit is interesting to me. We go to match number four. Mandy Rose versus Kaylee Ray versus Cora Jade, who has still not learned how to ride a skateboard, and Io Shirai. This Cora Jade, man, she comes out with this fucking skateboard. I'm like, dude, you still haven't learned how to ride this fucking skateboard?
It's been
months. Dude, So, by the way, Mandy Rose, her entrance, she comes down on this podium, which Wade Barrett says, this is actually a podium. That was my Bad News podium, and I gave it to her, and she does it better. Bad News Barrett was great on commentary. I know some people don't like him on commentary. I liked him. I thought it was funny. By the way, going back to the last match, during the Imperium match, you know how Marcel Bartel, like, never smiles? Mm-hmm. And Wade Barrett goes, this man's never had a happy day in his life. So stupid. Anyways, this match was not good. And I'll tell you why this match was not good. This match centered around Cora Jade, who is one of the absolute worst people I've ever seen at selling. You see her selling her leg? It was terrible. It is like the worst, shittiest acting I've ever seen. You have to watch it just to see how shitty her selling of the leg is. And Mandy Rose ultimately, you know, everyone just hits their fucking finishing move. Mandy Rose hits her fucking like running knee to Io Shirai's face and pins Io Shirai for the victory. Mandy Rose retains the belt. What did you think of this garbage match?
I didn't think much of it. I do think Mandy Rose has done great as a champ. I'm glad they kept it on her. I think it's time to move Io Shirai to the main roster. Hopefully they're doing that, which is why she lost. I didn't think much of this match. I'm just glad Mandy Rose lost the belt.
Mandy Rose
looks great. She's improving. I really hope like a year from now she has a prominent position at Mania.
I agree with you. The right person won the match.
Yeah, and I know like a lot of like the fucking wrestling nerds. I saw people complaining. You're just complaining because of Mandy Rose's persona, which is like the diva persona. But she's good and she's getting better. She's putting the work in, bro. She's putting the work in. So
wait, what are people complaining about?
Because they don't think she's a real wrestler, even though she's really wrestling.
They don't think
she's because her persona is I'm a diva. Like she doesn't say that, but that's. So they always associate divas with not good wrestling. It's like, shut the
fuck up. Yeah. So you're telling me a bunch of marks bought into the storyline and they're complaining about it. Oh, they're so stupid. Dude, she's not a real wrestler. She's been wrestling in this company for God knows how many years, right?
Yeah. She's not
Cora Jade. Yeah, just the way Cora Jade sells her leg, you could tell it's totally injured.
I'm glad she won. You know, it's fine. It was whatever.
Yeah. If you only watch this, if you want to see some really bad fucking stuff, watch.
Or if you like to look at Mandy Rose, then watch it too.
Yeah. All right. There is a. Who's the hottest cowboy couple competition?
Oh, this was garbage. This was fucking trash.
Match number 5. We got Walter versus LA Knight. LA Knight is hugely over, I would say. He actually, after Grimes, he's over. LA Knight, he's pretty over. Yeah. Walter hits the powerbomb for the victory. This was a good match. I like this.
It was okay. I've seen way better Walter matches in WWE. This was a really dumb
match. Better Walter matches, but this was fine too. Yeah. But yeah, right. This was not as good as some of the other ones. No. Match number 6, Bron Breakker versus Dolph Ziggler. Bron Breakker gets an NXT 2.0 colored chainsaw. Chops up NXT 2.0, the sign. Does that mean NXT 2.0 is over? They're changing it again?
No. That's what he does now, I guess.
Oh, I get it. Because he's a breaker. He breaks things. Stupid. I was like so confused. I was like, he's chainsawing NXT's sign again. Does that mean NXT is like done? I was just like so confused. They send Bobby Roode to the back early, but he comes back later. Back and forth match. Ultimately, Bron Breakker gets thrown into, he goes headfirst into an exposed turnbuckle, turns around, gets super kicked by Dolph Ziggler for Dolph Ziggler to retain the NXT title. What did you think about this? Because I know you didn't. Seemed like you liked it.
This match?
The match and then the ending.
I didn't like either one. I hope Bron Breakker's going to the main roster is why they did this. I think it's stupid to have this guy lose to Dolph Ziggler. I get they want to have this guy lose to like I think they don't want to have the Goldberg problem with him where he can never lose. I don't think Dolph was the fucking guy to beat him. I mean, yeah, I think it was because here's the problem. in like a month or two, they're probably gonna have Cody Rhodes squash Dolph Ziggler on Raw, like in 2 minutes, like to build Cody for a match. Like unless Dolph is gonna stay in NXT and they're gonna move Braun to the main roster, then I'm fine. But if on Tuesday Braun Breaker's like, I still want to fight you, then I don't know. This was fucking dumb. Sorry.
I feel like that's the eventual plan, to move Braun Breaker to the main roster.
Well, if that's not the plan now, there's no way. Why would you have him lose to Dolph Ziggler? I think it's fucking stupid.
When I say eventual plan, I feel like he's probably going to go to main roster, like, probably within 2 months.
Well, it should be Monday if he's losing to Dolph Ziggler. Like, that should be it for him on the next team.
Yeah, it might be. I think it might be soon. I mean, if it's not, then this
I didn't like this match. I didn't like the finish. Dolph Ziggler has been booked like such a fucking loser the last like 5-6 years. And you're trying to make this kid could be like the next Roman Reigns Goldberg, and you're having him lose to Dolph Ziggler. It's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Overall,
it was okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk now real quick about Ring of Honor. Big Daddy Khan. That was his first night. What did you think of the show, Ring of Honor overall?
Yeah, we talked about this offline before, and it's a good show. It's fun. It's fun to watch, but this was definitely a show where they were propping up AEW lower to mid-card talent over indie darlings and up-and-coming guys. A lot of squashes in this, and a lot of people that a lot of your favorites, your indie favorites, will do the fucking job on this show.
And Big Daddy Khan comes calling.
Yeah. I'll give you an example, guys. Starting from the pre-show. Colt Cabana versus Blake Christian. Indie darling. Colt Cabana wins with the Chicago Skyline. Mm-hmm. Match number two in the pre-show. Miranda Alizé versus AQA, who's also signed by AEW. I don't know if you guys remember AQA. She's the jobber who made fucking Jade Cargill look bad. A couple of months ago. She stinks. I think AQA is actually pretty fucking botchy, and she's not that good. But she wins with the Shooting Star Press over Miranda Alizé, who's got a little bit of indie cred. Match number three, you have Cheeseburger going, and you have Eli Isom. So a lot of people don't know this. Eli Isom was one of the young guys that they were pushing on Ring of Honor before it was bought. So he was like the equivalent. He was like almost like a Daniel Garcia kind of role, like in the sense that he's like this young guy who they just keep like putting him in prominent roles. Some of them he will lose, some of them he's gonna win, but he's constantly being elevated into these storylines, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? He fucking jobbed the fuck out tonight against Tully Blanchard's new stable of men, Toa Leone and Khan, formerly from Shane Taylor Promotions and Ring of Honor. So, yeah, those two guys got fucked by Toa and Khan. And in match number four of the pre-show, we had the only true Ring of Honor real match. It was Joe Hendry versus Dalton Castle. Dalton Castle hits the Bangarang for the victory. Afterwards, they do a promo with Bandito and Chavo, and he had Bandito, please. He begs to Chavo, please, no cheating tonight. And Chavo says, you got it. Any thoughts on the pre-show, any of these four matches before we get to the main card?
No, they were – I really like the tag team that Tully has.
Yes.
I like Colt Cabana's match. This is what's clear to me. I don't really – I kind of think Tony Khan just bought this thing to buy it. I don't think he has an idea where he's going.
I agree. Yeah, probably. I do think, though, he's going to do this thing where he's like, Tully, I want you to build a stable in Ring of Honor, which
I think he has a framework of good stories, I think. But also, it's like, I also think this is going to be a dumping ground of people he doesn't know what to do with.
Yes, dumping ground, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Tully Blanchard, by the way, his stable is now called Tully Blanchard Enterprises. This tag team of Toa Leone and Khan is called Gates of Agony. They hit the thumb spike, that Umaga move on fucking Eli Isom. I don't think he's going to sign any of these, like, Cheeseburger, Eli Isom, any of those people, which is fine. All right. So first matchup, we got Swerve Scott versus Alex Zane, formerly, I forgot his fucking name in WWE, but whatever.
He was in WWE?
Yeah, he was Ari Sterling or something like that. Remember? He was the guy who had his hair color and gear matched to 205 colors, like orange and purple.
He
went to all red. I like that he went to all red after he got fired. This was a good match. I like that Swerve hits the JML driver for the victory. Anything to add about this?
It was okay. It was a good showcase for Swerve.
Yeah, good showcase for Swerve. Zane's good. I think they should hire Zane just to keep in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Just to be like, you know what? We need somebody to have a good match with somebody and ultimately put them over. Alex Zane is your man. He will make the match look good, and then he doesn't have a problem losing to whoever you want to lose to.
Mm-hmm.
Match number two, GCW Darling Ninja Mac versus Tully's surprise signee. Yeah. Turns out to be Brian Cage. This is a squash match. He beats the shit out of him and hits a joke call on Ninja Mac.
I really thought that Ninja Mac was a fake wrestler that they made up for this pay-per-view, which is how bad.
Oh, did you really?
With how bad he got beaten. And dude, now you're telling me that people actually like this guy. But I think that's hilarious.
Dude, he's going to be wrestling in Pro Wrestling Noah in like a couple of.
I think that's fucking hilarious. This was the moment I realized that this company is just, it's just Tony Khan's like, I don't know what to do with Brian Cage, Ring of Honor. I don't know what to do with Tully Blanchard, Ring of Honor. Rather than fire these guys. Yeah, it's good. It was good. I mean, it was good for what it was. I didn't really give a shit that he squashed Ninja Mac.
Yeah,
I think Ninja Mac looks stupid. I think Ninja Mac looks a guy who should be squashed.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I have no problems with him getting squashed.
Why is
match number three, Lee Moriarty versus Jay Lethal. Both men are signed with AEW. So as I was saying, almost every match so far, you're going to have somebody who was signed with AEW. Or New Japan Pro Wrestling. The only match that wasn't was Joe Hendry versus Don Castle. So match number two, you got Lee Moriarty versus Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal's been doing this thing where he's losing a line, he's getting frustrated. So when the ref's not looking, he low blows Lee Moriarty and then hits a lethal injection for the victory. People are booing. People are mad. Matt Sydal, who came to ringside on crutches with Moriarty, is complaining. Jay Lethal starts attacking him. People are booing. Sanjay Dutt, who's a producer, comes in and breaks it up, and he starts yelling at Lethal, and they go in the back. I like this match. This match was
really good.
And storyline.
It was good. It told an interesting story. I like this match.
Yes. Match number four for the interim women's championship, Willow Nightingale versus Mercedes. Mercedes hits the – during this match, there is some sloppiness, including there's this one point where Willow hits the fucking moonsault. It looks like it fucking crushed Mercedes. Mercedes ultimately hits the brass.
Oh, that looked terrible.
Yeah, I know. It looked like – dude, it looked like it fucked up her arm. Like, she was just, like, holding her arm like, oh, my God. Mercedes, true professional, hits the – keeps it together to maintain for the rest of this match. Hits the brass city sleep, which is an amazing – which I think is a very good-looking finishing move. For the submission victory, Mercedes is now the interim champion. Give us your thoughts on this match. You should say what you said before offline.
Willow looks like she's trying to appeal to wrestling Twitter. She looks like what a wrestling Twitter female troll thinks a wrestler should look like. And they need to stop appealing to wrestling Twitter. Because wrestling Twitter was going off of how bad Ronda Rousey was, how Austin didn't look good. Meanwhile, everyone's going crazy for Austin. When they went to the pre-show, the number of kids who said they were there to see Ronda Rousey was crazy. And I know, you could say, they're plants, but you can't fake a kid's enthusiasm. People like wrestling Twitter is not indicative of what actually works. They're a bunch of fucking losers. And she stinks. Willow stinks. She needs to learn more about how to get the moves in. And you know what else? She reminded me of Miss Marvel as a wrestler.
Miss Marvel, the Marvel superhero. Not
Captain Marvel. Yeah, who's a fangirl.
Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan.
Kamala Khan. She reminded me of Kamala Khan as a wrestler.
Yeah. Willow, here's an example of what we're talking about, guys. Mm-hmm. So this is a match for the championship of Ring of Honor, right? Yes. To be a women's champion. Willow, this is probably one of her biggest matches of all time. And Mercedes as well. And she comes in there. Mercedes comes in there and she's got her game face on. Because she's portraying a person who's competing in a championship match. And she's like, I want to fuck this person up. I'm going to go for the victory. Midway in this match, there's points where Willow just like looks to the audience and just smiles and does like this like fucking waving thing. And I'm like, you're in a championship match. Match has already started. You're in the middle of it. Why are you turning to the audience and going like, yeah? I'm like, it's
because like, you're fucking she's not a real wrestler.
Yeah.
She
does all the things that you see a lot of indie wrestlers do. Like the part where they're trying to fire up, they go like, you know, they scream and like, it's just like all the fucking things you see every single indie wrestler do. She does the exact same thing. It's just no different.
Yeah.
I think people like her because she is attractive and they think they have a chance with her. That's what a lot of these lonely, losery wrestling guys who are on Twitter are like. That's why they're thinking. And I know she knows this, and I know she milks that. Mm-hmm. You know, she knows these guys want to bang her, so she's gonna like if I act nice, these idiots are gonna believe that I really am nice and I have a chance with her. So that's what this is. She should have never been in this fucking match.
No, it was a very whatever match. I have a feeling like this was his hands were tied. They already booked him in this. They already booked her. I'm sorry. And Tony Khan like had to honor the booking or some shit.
Yeah, actually, I listened to some of the scrum after the show, and they mentioned how they talked about Deanna, and he said, "I wanted to book Deanna, but she couldn't because they had already booked her Impact. She's an Impact wrestler and she was already booked tonight that night. And they weren't allowed to like take her off." Yeah. So that's probably why they had to do this interim thing. But they did acknowledge they're going to do this thing where they're going to have somewhere down the line, champion versus champion match. So we'll see how that goes. They did talk about Deanna a lot there. Like Mercedes said, like, dude, I've been wrestling over the past 6 months and I know what she can do. And so looks like they're going to go for that. Match number 5, which I also thought was the main event of the show, Briscoes versus FTR for the ROH Tag Team titles. This is a feud started completely from Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
This is like completely from Twitter. This thing, the fucking fans are into this match before against. This dueling chance almost throughout this whole match. There is a point where one of the FTR members gets out. I think he gets mad and he fucking goes outside, grabs a chair, throws it into the ring. Referee fucking grabs the chair. He catches the chair. He catches the chair. Everyone, people pop for that. Commentary is good. There is a spot where the fucking FTR do slingshot Jay Briscoe into the table. He's bleeding. Everybody's bleeding. They hit crazy suplexes. Eventually, they hit the big rig on. I think on Jay Briscoe for the victory. FTR wins. They're the new ROH Tag Team Champions. Everybody shakes hand. FTR leaves. Young Bucks come in. They start beating up the fucking Briscoes. FTR comes back. They talk about their match that they're going to have on Dynamite on Wednesday. I love this match. This match was great.
Oh, yeah. Definitely the match of the not best. I haven't seen the other non-WWE shows. But I can tell you this much. This was the best non-WWE match of the weekend or WrestleMania week, bar none, the end. I don't think anything tops this.
Yeah, I think you can easily, safely say that even without watching those other shows. You know?
I guarantee you. Like, yeah, good I spent a lot of money watching those other shows, yeah.
This is great.
A classic.
So, moving forward, do you think the Briscoes are gonna be used by Tony Khan? You think this is it? This is their hurrah? Okay.
It depends. I won't say that. It depends on where Ring of Honor winds up.
Yeah. Okay. Match number 6 for the TV championship. Minoru Suzuki versus Rhett Titus. basically a squash match. Suzuki hits the Guts-style pile driver in a quick 6-minute match for the victory. He is now your TV champion. I'm pretty sure Red Titus is gone after this.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. Isn't he in NWA now, too?
Yeah, he might be. Probably is.
Yeah.
NWA.
This was a complete squash. It wasn't even that good of a use of Suzuki. This was like almost like a TV match.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Match number 7, Josh Woods, who is the pure Ring of Honor pure champion, versus Wheeler Yuta. In my opinion, Josh Woods was a better wrestler than Yuta in this. Not saying that Yuta was bad, because Yuta actually wasn't bad either, but I felt like Josh Woods was a little better. But it doesn't matter, because Yuta hits the trap cover for victory. He is now the new pure champion, and he's signed by the company. You know, it was fine. I didn't think this match was that good. I don't think it was that good at all.
I'll tell you what I liked about this match, because they didn't do this. Like, again, Tony Khan is very notorious for not fucking explaining the rules or who's who or what's what. He just expects, like, you've been on the internet, you've watched Ring of Honor for 20 years.
They gave the rules in the beginning.
Well, the fact that they gave the rules to this match was fucking great. I really like that. That people were shaking hands, and my friend was like, why do they shake hands at the beginning of every Ring of Honor match? I'm like, well, there's a code of honor. Like, what's the code? And I'm like, I don't know. I forget. He's like, well, they should fucking tell you what the code is when the show starts. I'm like, yeah, you're right. They should. I don't know why they don't. But this match, I like this. This is my favorite Wheeler Yuta match since I first laid eyes on that. I didn't know this guy until this summer, but it was my favorite Wheeler Yuta match.
Match number 8. This is the unification match for the Ring of Honor Championship. Bandido versus Jonathan Gresham. Chavo is cheating. He's doing all these tactics. Bandido finally sees him. Ref's not seeing him, but Bandido sees him, and he goes, tells the ref, dude, he's my manager, but get him the fuck out of here. So he kicked Chavo out. And then Jonathan Gresham hits like a trap cover on Bandido for victory. Gresham is now your Ring of Honor champion. As he gets on the mic to cut a boring promo, Jay Lethal comes out, cuts a promo on him. And Gresham gives an uninspired response back, which allows Jay Lethal to start attacking him. Sanjay Dutt comes out and turns around and attacks Gresham. So Sanjay and Jay Lethal are both attacking Gresham. Lee Moriarty comes out. They attack him too. Suddenly, we hear a ripoff of Samoa Joe's NXT music. Samoa Joe comes out to a huge pop. He chokes out Sanjay Dutt, and he basically stares off with Jay Lethal. I thought the commentary did a great job explaining the history between these two guys. This is one of my favorite commentary teams, by the way.
Was really good. Yes. And I hope they keep them. I would bring that Rick up. I would have, you know what, dude? I almost feel like the Rick Capone guy should also be an AEW. Dude, the commentary for Rampage is awful.
Yes. This
commentary was so much better.
Yeah, Ian Riccaboni and Caprice Coleman did the commentary. And they're very good. Ian Riccaboni is really good at calling moves, explaining the importance of things. And Caprice Coleman, in my opinion, is a very underrated color commentator. He's the guy who does that singing like, oh my God, like when there's like a huge move that became like a meme thing. Mm-hmm. And he, like some of the stuff he said was making me laugh. He was like, I wrestled the Briscoes. They don't even speak English. They communicate by grunts. I was like, that's so stupid, but it's so funny. But what did you think about this match, by the way? Bandido versus Gresham. Let's get
it. It was all right. I really don't like Gresham. I think it's bullshit that he's such a great wrestler. Bandido was the star. If they think that Gresham should be the guy they focus this thing around, they're sadly mistaken. Sadly, sadly mistaken. I think he should be in WWE as like a goofball. Gresham? Yes.
Gresham?
As a goofball jobber. He should be in the position that like the Viking Raiders are in, or he just gets beaten.
You think he should be like Reggie?
Yes, that's what Jonathan Gresham should be. That's his ceiling. It's stupid to make this guy like the ace of the company or something. He looks terrible. You know what? I saw footage of him celebrating with Jordan Grace on the pre-show. he even looks awful next to her because he looks like her son. Like, it's just like he's awful.
He looks like he's wearing one of those like scoliosis cases. Like, my friend had scoliosis and you have to wear like this whole brace thing. It looks like he's wearing that. I was also not a fan of him winning, but now that I watched it, I kind of understand why they did it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are building something between Jay Lethal and Samoa Joe, right? Mm-hmm. And because Jay Lethal and Gresham have this history together, he needs to be involved in order for that like belt to be passed to Jay Lethal to eventually do this. Because like, if you think about it this way, if Bandido won, it would be less impactful, the storyline. You know what I'm saying?
Because
Gresham and Lethal have this history, it makes more of a sense that Jay Lethal will go after him. So I think they only kept the title on him just for storyline purposes. I'm like, I'm okay with that. Storyline purposes, not fun. You know?
Yeah. All in all, it was a good show. I'm glad I spent $30 on it. It was fine. It was my first Ring of Honor show I ordered. I just don't know. I don't think Tony Khan knows what his vision for this is. You know? Did you see the photo of Tony Khan like barking out over Samoa Joe coming out? He looked like such a loser.
He looked like he was coked up, dude. And you know what? During the scrum, he looks like a guy who's coming down as coked up.
I guarantee you when Cody came out in WWE and he got the pop, Vince was probably just sitting there smiling, like, all right, we got him. Like, he's not like, Cody's with me again. I'm an idiot. Like, fuck it. I can't. Dude, I was looking at that photo. I want to punch that dude in the face. Even when he does something I like, he's so obnoxious about it that I just want to kick this guy in the fucking head. No wonder Cody left, bro. No wonder Cody left.
Is that a new dog?
No, it's the same dog. It wants to get to the cat food. I won't let it.
Oh, it's cute. I like the other dog better, but that one's cute too.
You've met both these dogs, bro. Andrew D, bro. All right. So
those are the shows.
Overall, I thought the best show was WrestleMania, which I would not have called. If you asked me a week ago, I would have been like, yeah, I think the best show is going to be Ring of Honor, followed by Stand and Deliver. WrestleMania over-delivered tonight, and I'll give them that. I don't know. They're going to under-deliver tomorrow night, though, but they over-delivered tonight.
Yeah. It makes
sense. That's what it's supposed to do. That's what Mania is supposed to do.
Mania should always be the best show, you know?
Yeah. I always feel that way. I love the fact that we're surprised that Mania is the best show. Like, oh, really?
Yeah.
And
I was happy with it.
So tomorrow night, Kyle Lewis is going to join me for the Mania Night 2 post show. But Andrew Lee, bro, we'll be back Monday. We're going to do the Monday after Mania.
Yep. Have a good night, guys.
Good night, guys. See you then, Andrew Lee, bro.